Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. So hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today by the name of Tara Kabatoff. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You got it.
Awesome. So Tara is an intuitive healer and guide on a mission to empower individuals to embrace their authenticity and transform their lives through accessing the shadow self and subconscious beliefs. Through her guidance, her personal experience, and practical techniques, Tara helps people break free from fears, heal past wounds, awaken to their full potential, and create awareness of the interconnectedness of the body, mind, emotional, and soul aspects within. Tara, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So your work focuses on the shadow self and accessing the subconscious beliefs. So what actually brought you to this work?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 17 years of searching. Really, at the end, it was a long journey, and I'll spare the whole story because it is quite long. But yeah, I had a really, really challenging go in my life. I was at a point in my life, I'd say, when I started the spiritual journey 16, 17 years ago, where I was really not doing well. I was suffering through addictions. I was had really low confidence, low self-worth. I had chronic anxiety, depression. I was working a corporate job at that time, but I was barely surviving. I was barely getting by. On the outside, I was showing up, working hard, and doing a really great job. But on the inside, I was dying inside. And I didn't really, I felt very misaligned with who I really was, but I didn't really know that at the time. I just wasn't doing well. And it led me on this journey of self-discovery and trying to improve and trying to figure things out and searching and healing. And nothing was really working until 4 years ago when I lost, I lost everything. So I came to a point where I was really trying to push my career. I was trying to make things work, but I was pushing uphill. I was pushing against resistance, and I wasn't seeing it at the time because I'm also a very resilient person. And if we've had a lot of trauma in our life or a lot of difficulties, we can tend to build up that resiliency and have the strength to just push through, even though we're on the wrong track and all the red flags are going off, we can still keep charging forward to try to make it work.
Yes.
And yeah, I got to that point where the universe was like, you're done. You got to stop this. And everything was my health wasn't doing well. My mental, my emotional, everything was just really not in a good place. So I had that breaking point and I went into the dark night of the soul. I went on a very, very, very deep quest for everything, everything. I started learning tarot. I got into numerology. I was just dissecting and like a sponge, just looking for answers and information. And it just brought me into this whole other aspect of myself that I didn't even know existed until I went through that transformation. So I basically had to completely shed my old self, and I was reborn into my true self. And the biggest eye-opener for me, I was working with a healer and mentor at that time. And again, Dark Night of the Soul, if you've gone through it or any of the listeners have gone through it, it's really, really challenging, transformative process. And the biggest realization that I had was how powerful my subconscious beliefs were and how they were influencing so many behaviors and perceptions and emotions and thoughts, and tying it into the shadow and learning Carl Jung's work and what is the shadow, and discovering this aspect that we all have and how crucial it is to understand what the shadow is and how it influences us and how we can, because I was living in my shadow full-time access without even knowing it, without even realizing it. And so the closer that we become with that part of ourselves, the more whole we are. If we can tend to repress it or shy away from it or detach, disassociate from it because it's uncomfortable. But then we end up living with it. It's kind of here in the background, influencing our life. But when we shine light on it and we bring it in and we start to feel into it and understand it and work with it, then we become more whole. We understand ourselves more rather than, again, not wanting to face a crucial part of ourselves.
So how would you define then, because I think many people have heard the term shadow, you know, shadow work. However, how do you define that? And then also, how do you define your subconscious beliefs?
Yeah, the shadow and the subconscious are very connected. The shadow is an aspect of ourselves. You can think of anything uncomfortable and negative that we don't like. That's the shadow. Unfortunately, it's got a bad rep, this poor shadow. But it holds such wisdom and deep, profound answers and the ability to connect with ourselves and heal ourselves through understanding it. So the shadow is the uncomfortable aspects of our psyche, of our emotions, our thoughts, our being that we tend to detach from. And truthfully, we come from a society that we're not really taught how to work with our emotions, or, you know, if we do something bad, we're punished for it, you know? So we also look at these feelings and we have a skewed perception around these more negative aspects, that they're not acceptable, right? So we tend to push it aside. But it's an experience. The light and the dark function equally. They're all experiences, and we can't have one without the other. It's
right.
the polarization within ourselves. The subconscious is connected to that because our belief system is formed in our formative years 0 to 3, in utero even. We are born into the collective shadow, which is, you can think of it as energy. Everything is energy. So we are born under maybe some energy influences of fear, of struggle, of lack, of anger, criticism, judgment. And so it becomes ingrained deep within our subconscious. And our subconscious is almost like our computer, if you will. It's our program, right, that we live by, that influences our perceptions, how we see and perceive the world, relationships, how we interact with the world, how we feel about ourselves and interact with others, feel about others, our thoughts. It's all connected, right? And so our subconscious, if we have, say, for example, low worth, low confidence beliefs, then it will manifest in many ways. We might not feel comfortable speaking our voice. I mean, 5 years ago, I would not be able to do this. I was a scared, timid, extremely self-conscious and low confidence girl, woman, young woman, little girl inside, just hiding, but also wanting to get out at the same time. So it took a lot of work to break those layers to become, well, to return to my authentic self and resolve the beliefs of fear and low worth and low confidence and hiding my voice, etc. So yeah, the subconscious belief system is, I feel there are two layers, or maybe three. One is the conscious level that we can see. We can understand our belief system, maybe things like self-love or abundance or fear or lack, those things we can pick up on. And then there are the subconscious that we can access through deep observation, through guidance as well. And then the sub that really, really is like the root of it, that can also in turn to manifest in our body as the end result. Yeah.
Okay. So how then do you help people get to, access, I guess, their subconscious beliefs and kind of get back to their authentic selves?
Yeah. So it's kind of working back a little bit. There are a lot of visualization techniques that you can do. So visualizing your maybe future self, what you desire, your manifestations, what your heart is calling you towards, what you are desiring to experience on a very core level, and then working back and see, well, what's getting in the way of that? What's the block there? Is there a fear? Is there worry? Is there self-judgment? Is there something that's holding you in the way, and defining that and understanding what is in there that is preventing you from maybe opening your heart or creating great success or living without worry or fear. And then you work back a little bit to go through the layers of what is in there. Can you define it? Can you feel it? And where is it coming from? And even trying to connect the dots with what we've experienced in our formative years as well. Maybe through our family life, through experiences that we've gone through in childhood, what has developed over time that have become our beliefs that aren't necessarily true, that we can rewrite, and we can rewrite all of it. We can recreate our entire life.
So what do you think are some of the challenges that people experience when they begin to first, you know, when they first try to do this work? What are like some of the common challenges you've come across?
That's a really good question. The main challenges would be probably, I would say, stuckness, you know, feeling stuck and trusting the process. I feel that we live in a society where we're so much up against the clock and up against results, and we want to see progress happen. We want this right now. We live in an instant gratification society, instant reward. Everything is at our fingertips now, but this process is completely different. It requires time. I actually just did a video on YouTube today about this 8-year process that I've been in, where I first defined who I want to be. And I looked at some people that I admired with traits that resonated with me. And I wrote it down, and I wrote down, this is who I'd like to be, not who the person, but the traits of that person, the qualities that resonated with me. 8 years ago, I wrote that down. And only recently I remembered, I think only 3 weeks ago, I remembered, wow, I wrote those down. I referred to those people, and I'm turning into that person. I'm now starting to feel those traits really come to light within myself. But it took 8 years to go through. But I mean, I was really suffering. So I had to completely rewrite the script in my life to align with what I really desire from my heart and who I really am. So I had a lot of layers to go through, but I feel that's the greatest struggle, is being patient and giving this the time and the trust with the process, because it is not a linear process. It is messy. It is very complicated. I still go through my downs. I just had it the other few days ago, but then I came out with new realizations, new perception, new sense of self. So we go through that little bit of death and rebirth, you know, as we move along here, these shifts within ourselves. And so the timing is I feel the greatest struggle, because we are eternal beings. We are soul beings. We have a body. Time is irrelevant, but we need to also trust that process and trust that new way of being.
Definitely. Yes. I would agree that, you know, many of us would love to see the end results very quickly. Like, we want that transformation to happen overnight, you know, but, you know, as you've said, it takes, you know, change or evolution takes sometimes a really long freaking time, yeah. You know, and trusting that you're actually going to get there and get through the process, you know, it's really challenging. And, you know, this kind of brings to mind to me, throughout this process, because I know you mentioned trust, what about the fact that most of us kind of have this really loud inner critic, you know, that's chomping away at us constantly through anything that we do and through this process? How do you help people manage like that voice? Because it can be pretty loud.
Yeah, it's observation is essential. The beauty of shadow work and understanding your shadow and deepening your practice is you create greater awareness, right? So the whole point and the gift of this is you have greater awareness of your thoughts, your emotions, the inner critic, what are the words being said, and where is it really coming from, right? So it usually is a judgment thing that we have within ourselves. And it comes from somewhere, right? So did it come from maybe how we were raised? Did it comes from society? I can tell you that. I can tell you that much, because that's part of our society. So it is removing ourselves from this old construct or paradigm. And when we have that inner critic, when we're being hard on ourselves, it's crucial to let that go, to observe it. You know, what are the words? What are the thoughts? What are the feelings? What are the sensations? Why am I being so hard on myself? Where is that really coming from? Why am I putting so much pressure on myself? And how can I let it go? So when we face our shadow, it's really great that we have it, because then we know what needs to change. We have that nudge that, oh, something's coming up. Okay, I need to face something deeper, rather than succumbing to that thought or that feeling and becoming it, because it can override our experience. We can just get lost in it,
right,
without finding a way out. So it sounds easy, but it's easier said than done, of course. You know, observing and catching it and trying to see where it really is coming from, and why are we really putting this pressure on ourselves? Where is that pressure coming from? Where is that criticism or judgment coming from? And how can we separate from it? And everything is energy. So you can even imagine yourself completely detaching from the energy of it, right? And then you let go and you release and you become more calm. And so it is going into these layers of that, the trying to find the root cause. You know, it's constant awareness and observation. But the more aware, as I mentioned, the greater conscious we have, the greater self-awareness we have, self-mastery, you know, it really allows us to become, you know, in the driver's seat of our subconscious, being aware of these aspects of ourselves.
Definitely. And like you mentioned, you know, constant, you know, observation and awareness, because, and this is just what I'm, you know, my perspective, I can imagine that, let's say that you're, you know, doing your shadow work and you're going through these layers, you know, of your life, and your beliefs. But I imagine that from time to time, you know, even though you think you've let them go, that something will trigger them and they'll resurface. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, puts you back in that, whether it's, you know, criticism or judgment again. So I imagine like this is like a life's work. You
it
know.
Is. It is. And I do have to say, I mean, I've been really at this, especially, I've been at it for a long time, but especially the last 4 years really ramped up, and I gave it 100%. I wasn't working. I was putting so much effort into this work and to really deepening my practice and healing, and really wanted change. And I really wanted change. And you have to want it too. You really have to be in a place where you're ready. You're done with the old. I've had enough of being like this. I want change. And that will be your fire. That will be your fuel. And over time, I've noticed that I'll go into the dips. I'll go into negative mindset. I'll go into the fear and uncertainty, criticism, judgment. But it's not as frequent and it's not as severe. So over time, you lessen the severity and the frequency of it, right? So it will still come up. We have these layers. But the more observation, you create more and more of a separation rather than becoming really entangled in it.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, throughout this process at all, is there any sort of dream work involved in shadow and what you do exactly?
There is, but I don't specialize in dream work, unfortunately. But Carl Jung, I mean, he coined the shadow. I've read a lot of his work. He did study dream work. He has a lot of material on dream analysis, which is, I should get into it because I have crazy dreams. I have dreams that are intense, but I, for some reason, I don't have a journal. I just wake up going, what the hell is that about? And then I get on with my day, which I probably should. But actually the most interesting one that I had, a reoccurring one, was I had a very, very difficult time with success in my life. So I had a corporate career. I had actually pretty decent career, but I had an incredible ability for self-sabotaging any kind of success or any path that I would be on. And then when I went on my own, I broke off to be an entrepreneur for a while. And I really struggled. And it, when you're an entrepreneur, I mean, it's you. You don't have that safety net. It's yourself hustling and making things happen, right? So it slowly started to decline, and I became more and more in fear around my ability to succeed. But what was happening in my dreams is that I would have reoccurring dreams of struggle and being in poverty and just really decrepit environments. And I would wake up feeling gross. I was thinking, oh, this is not good. This is like right in my subconscious. And so I had to work on reprogramming my subconscious. So the key from what I've heard with dreams is if when you have a dream and you wake up with a certain feeling, that gives you a very strong indication of something deeper within, something emotional that needs to be resolved. Or, I mean, even if it's happy, that's great. But if it's something a little bit more emotional or something deeper. And for myself, I would wake up just feeling gross and having that fear and that lack and that struggle, like really at the bottom of it. So I started working on reprogramming my subconscious. So the best times for that is right at night before you're falling asleep and first thing in the morning, because your mind is starting to slow down and move into rest state at the end of the night. And then when you first wake up, you're priming your subconscious for the day. So you're sort of setting the intentions in a way, or you're doing some visualization work. And really the affirmations of I believe and I feel, like really ingraining it in. And then my dreams started to change. It took a while, but they actually started to, I had better dreams of, you know, greater success and more comfortability in these things. But it was a really great indicator of what was really in my subconscious that needed to be addressed, that was coming up during the dream state.
Wow. So speaking of, I mean, that's amazing that, you know, you're getting messages through the dream world. I always love that. In terms of the affirmations, because I was thinking about that when you were speaking. So when you're working with your clients, do you help them to develop like appropriate affirmations, you know, that they can use for however long, you know, it could be years or what have you, but, you know, to use throughout the process?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do work on customized guided meditations as well. To take them deeper into their subconscious and deeper into their deeper state, and to bring in the feeling and the truth of those affirmations. So we can work with affirmations. I am, I believe, I feel, and we can say them, but if we're not really resonating with them, like feeling it in a deep way, then they may not stick as well. You know, so we need to really feel them to believe them and to make it true, our truth. Make it so. Yeah.
So I can completely imagine, you know, especially being an entrepreneur and there is no safety net and everything is dependent upon you and your ideas and, you know, your resilience, that definitely is, you know, it brings everything to the surface that you can't ignore. You know what I mean? Like that to me is a very frightening situation just because of the level of uncertainty. And I think for a lot of people, being in a position of uncertainty and being in the unknown, whatever, however that comes up in your life, you know, is definitely a scary space. And all of our negative beliefs that we hold become very, very much so in the forefront of our minds. And most people will, you know, like you said earlier, you push through it because you're taught to just keep going and not actually sit down and start asking yourself questions or wondering where these thoughts, you know, are coming from. And I think that's what most people do. They don't sit down to interrogate. They just, it's like, I just got to keep going, you know, don't think about the negative things, just keep going. But it's important to look at the negative things.
Oh, that's where you grow.
Yeah.
That's where you grow. And being an entrepreneur, I mean, I've had to step out of my comfort zone so many times. Like I said, 5 years ago, I would not be able to do this. I would not be able to even hold a conversation. I was so insecure, but I had this fire inside. I had this desire. But being an entrepreneur has taught me so much and has pushed me out of my comfort zone. And Carl Jung quoted that where your fear lies is where you need to look. So if a fear comes up, if uncertainty comes up, that's exactly where you need to go, not avoid it. So uncertainty is everywhere, even full-time job. I mean, in our life, we can feel uncertainty. But if we're operating just as is, and we add on extra fear or uncertainty onto our daily experiences, we're just adding more pressure onto our life experience, right? So it is seeing where that certainty is coming from. My healer or mentor, she told me that we're in love or fear at any time. And when we're in love, that is a place of trust. And no matter what happens, we will be taken care of because we have the full ability to take care of ourselves. When we're in fear, we can often make poor decisions. We can limit ourselves and we can limit our perception on reality. When we're in love, we can see more, we can be open to more, and we can connect with more. So you can see that the differences between the two. So when we fall into fear and we have that resistance and the uncertainty and holding ourselves back, it's very restrictive energetically, emotionally. It can limit us quite a lot. So, yeah.
So I imagine, like, when you're doing, this very personal work and you are working through your subconscious beliefs, because you said you can get stuck sometimes, in those beliefs. What kind of support do you provide to your clients, like going through this process? Because I would imagine that, you need a lot, as much support as you can get to keep yourself from drowning into, the root of the issues or, just the negative beliefs themselves.
Absolutely. It runs similar to what we were talking about. Well, I do have a group Inner Circle on Patreon where it's a weekly meetup. So we do have talks like this, and I'll pick a theme or I'll have them choose what they're going through, and they can select an area for topics. So I find that community is really nice because it allows for us to feel that we're not alone in this process, because it can be very isolating. And I feel that especially during COVID, what happened, there's a very, I feel that it's almost like a go-to reaction to self-isolate and to be alone during this process or during the difficult times, or when you're in fear, when you're stuck, or when you're struggling. It can be a very isolating place to be. So I do like to build community around that, and just to have a place where people support one another and also have that guidance to work through it. But I also create a ton of content on it, how to work through these moments. And if I would give advice or recommendation to anyone about what to do if they are going through any moment of stuck or uncertainty, it's really, really returning back to your heart and who you truly are, and having your North Star. I feel it's really important to have a little bit of a guiding light of what we want in our life, or who we want to be, what we want to create, the kind of life that we want, and knowing that it is not, again, a linear process, that being confused or feeling lost is normal. And we all go through that, but it also offers us a lot of great ability for change, for us to look within, make adjustments, make some changes. When we're stuck, that's actually not a time of stuckness. It's a time of change. There are a lot of things, multidimensional beings. There are so many different layers to our experiences at any given time. So if we can trust and keep in our line of sight of what we want for our future and have that as our guiding light, we can be open to synchronicities and many things happening. So it really is finding our center and trusting and learning to let go, and also trying to find that root cause of what really is under the surface there. What's really under the surface and causing that truly on a deep, deep level. So again, when the subconscious kicks in, we can feel fearful. But once we go lower, a little bit lower under the surface, we can get a sense of really, where is that coming from? And is that really true? Is that really valid? Why are we giving our energy to that exactly when it's just a construct in our mind? That's the matrix, is this. It's all, we all have this whole story and stuff going on within our mind, within our body. We all have our own thing going on at any given time. It's amazing when you really take a step back and look at humanity or people, and we all got our stuff, but it's just all in our mind. You know, it's all in our mind. It's all in our subconscious going on. Yeah.
Definitely. So I wonder then, I guess maybe this is two questions. So what types of transformations have you seen, like working with your clients? But number two, kind of going back to what you said earlier, if I have this correct, about the other subconscious that is reflected in the body, where something manifests in the body. I'm very curious about that as well. I would like you to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I was wondering if you've had, if you, you know, seen certain transformations or major aha moments, you know, when working with your clients, when they've been, you know, doing the deep inner work and trying to understand certain either behaviors or beliefs that they have. What have those been like?
I had one client I've done. So I should also mention that I'm not always in the dark and deep and depressing shadow stuff. it's also part of it is, I'd say, the main part, because I truly feel that we have to absolutely access and understand our shadow in order to create change, period. Bottom line. If you want to manifest, you have to create the change within yourself to be that person you want to be in your future, to create the life that you want. So part of it is that deep and dark and shadowy stuff. And then the other part is getting you out there to create what you want, you know, to have the life that you want. What does that feel like? How can you resonate with that? Who are you? And what is the life that you truly want? So I had a woman manifest a house, and it was incredible how fast she did it. And she visualized it. She visualized it. We did a visualization technique. She was going through a whole, I mean, there was more to it than that. I know it sounds very, it's not so much superficial. It's just, I wanted this house. And there was a lot of under the surface stuff. But she started visualizing and seeing exactly the, like, she had the blueprint, the whole house laid out. It was her and her family. She was having a baby and everything. And they were in a really tough market. And she had a fear. There was part of herself holding herself back from taking a risk. Now, I would never, ever advise anyone to do anything. It's all free. We all have free will. But there was a fear of her not even moving forward in her life into this new chapter. And so we worked through that fear, and we uncovered some deeper connections that confidently moved her towards what she was really drawn towards, but there was part of herself holding her back. And so once she started following and trusting and using her intuition and tapping into her inner guidance, she manifested the house that she envisioned. And it was exactly to a T. This bathroom was over here. The stairs were here. She said, I can't believe it. I went into that line completely with trust, and I saw it, and it happened. And but it just goes to show how we are so connected, when we're so connected with our intuition and with our higher guidance, and we trust, it's so easy. Life is so easy. I know it feels difficult, and I know things come up, but when we can find that flow. And I had another woman who had a really difficult time receiving because of low worth, you know, some family things, not being used to receiving, used to giving, yeah. giving, doing, mother, wife, entrepreneur, business owner, giving, doing. But she hadn't really taken time to feel worthy of receiving and what that feels like. And that was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable for her to feel worthy and actually accept something. And when she did, she won an award for her work because she had felt worthy of it. So yeah, many things. And the body, this is my favorite topic, by the way, so I'm glad you asked that. So when I was working with a healer, almost 4 years ago, I was introduced to this healer randomly. It was, talk about a synchronicity happening, unfolding, when I was at that low point. And her and I started working together. And she started reading me these passages from, it's from the Messages from the Body, Michael Lincoln, Dr. Michael Lincoln, who was a psychologist out of Oregon. And he's no longer with us. And I'm looking over, I'm looking to the side because they're right there. I can see the books. And it just went like my brain just blew open when I was read these passages. So this psychologist put together these bodies of work, these books. They're like encyclopedias, essentially. And my healer mentor, now friend, she works with pendulum. Well, so do I. I do the work too. Part of it is literal. So say you have a knee ache or back ache or stomach issues or something. Then in the book, there are literal references to certain aspects within your body that hold a belief, a false belief that has been embedded and stored within your body. So the psychologist has analyzed the entire body and including diseases, ailments, all sorts of things. And part of it is intuitive work, this energy work. So working with the person and understanding their energy, understanding themselves, their body, and then going into the book, part of it's, sorry, literal, part of it's intuitive. And that just opened my eyes to how we store energy within our body and how our body manifests it and is, our body essentially is trying to communicate with us. So in his book, he mentioned that your body is the last resort. So your body, when it's aching, when it's doing all sorts of things that we can get medication for, it's actually trying to communicate with us. So it's trying to tell us that, hey, there's something deeper that you need to look at. You can heal yourself. What I've seen, what I've gone through, it is, it was hugely eye-opening. And yeah, I've worked with my mom on it. My mom had serious heart stuff. It came from fear. She had her father died of a heart attack, so she had a lot of fear, but she was in the hospital a lot for her heart. So we did a lot of work there, and she hasn't talked about it for a year.
Wow.
So I've seen some incredible things that way, and it's a hard, so I find it difficult to talk about sometimes because it goes so against, you know, what we're used to and
yes.
The health system, for example, but I know that we have such an incredible, we haven't even tapped into, I haven't even, but I know that we can really do some amazing things within ourselves if we try, you know, we give ourselves the permission to heal. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think that's incredible. There's a book. Let me also say, I have not read this book, but when you were talking, I kept thinking of this title of this book called The Body Keeps Score. And I
Bessel van der Kolk. Oh, that is such a good book. Yes.
So it's on my list, but I was like, this kind of sounds like what I imagine this book is about.
Yes. Yes. It is so on point. I love that book too. That was one of my favorite ones. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think that's such a beautiful way of saying, like, looking at it, not so much as your body is punishing you, but it's really trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
You know, to help you like get to the, like you were saying, like the root of some of the issues that you're having. And I would have to obviously like read some of these books because I have not, but I think it's quite amazing that that author or whoever did that work was looking at certain parts of the body and, you know, understanding what some of the issues are associated. I think it's really incredible. But as you said, you know, this type of work is really not popular or seen as credible.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
In the modern day world, which makes it really challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It is very powerful. Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you came today. This has been very informative, at least for me, and I'm pretty sure for everybody else who's going to listen. And if people want to connect with you, and I suspect they're going to want to, how can they find you? And also, what promotions do you have?
Yes. So you can find me at tarakabatoff.com is the website. I'm on Instagram with Tara_Kabatoff. I'm also on YouTube, Tara Kabatoff. And promotion, I do have the Shadow Project. So I have the Inner Circle that I have on Patreon, which is a weekly meetup. Plus you get access to meditations, guided meditations, and other resources. That's on my Patreon, Tara Kabatoff. And then the promotion I have right now is a 15% off the Shadow Project, which is a month-long program. We meet twice a week for hour and a half sessions. And it's a group environment. Sometimes the groups are very small. And it's everything you need to know about the shadow. So we go into the depths, into the different archetypes, doing inner work. And then we go work on the manifestation. We work on the outer work. So it's not just all the dark and deep, but it does give you a huge glimpse into yourself and to understand the power of the shadow, because it is a crucial part for healing, transformation, and manifestation.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being here, and everybody who's listening. I'll post the promotion and all the other details in the show notes. So thank you again for being on the
thank
show.
You.
This was informative, and I've enjoyed you being here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And everybody, please take care. Bye.